Sometimes slashers of cattle have been caught, and, when called upon to explain, have said that they had obeyed an irresistible impulse. The better educated of these unresisting ones transform the rude word slasher into vivisectionist, and, instead of sneaking into fields at night, work at regular hours, in their laboratories. There are persons who wonder at the state of mind of the people in general, back in times when the torture of humans was sanctioned. The guts of a man were dragged out for the glory of God. Abdominal exploration of a dog is for the glory of science. The state of mind that was, and the state of mind that is, are about the same, and the unpleasant features of anything are glossed over, so long as mainly anything is glorious. According to a reconsideration, by the English government, in the Adelgee case, the slasher of cattle, of Worley, remained uncaught. In the summer of 1907, in the same region, again there was slashing. August 22, 1907, a horse mutilated, near Worley. It was said that blood had been found on the horns of a cow, and that the horse had been gored. 5 nights later, 2 horses, in another field, were slashed so that they died. September 8 horse slashed, at Breenwood, Staffordshire. A young butcher, named Morgan, was accused, but he was able to show that he had been in his home, at the time. For about a month injuries to horses continued to be reported. They had been injured by barbed wires, or by nails projecting from fences. 8. Sometime in the year 1867, a fishing smack sailed from Boston. One of the sailors was a Portuguese, who called himself James Brown. 2 of the crew were missing, and were searched for. The captain went into the hold. He held up his lantern, and saw the body of one of these men, in the clutches of Brown, who was sucking blood from it. Nearby was the body of the other sailor. It was bloodless. Brown was tried, convicted, and sentenced to be hanged, but President Johnson commuted the sentence to life imprisonment. In October, 1892, the vampire was transferred from the Ohio Penitentiary to the National Asylum, Washington, D.C., and his story was retold in the newspapers. See the Brooklyn Eagle, November 4, 1892. Ottawa Free Press, September 17, 1910 that, near the town of Galazana, Portugal, a child had been found dead, in a field. The corpse was bloodless. The child had been seen last with a man named Salvary. He was arrested, and confessed that he was a vampire. See the New York Sunday, April 14, 1931, for an account of the murders of 9 persons, all but one of them females, which in the year 1929 terrorized the people of Dusseldorf, Germany. The murderer, Peter Curtin, was caught. At his trial, he made no defense, and described himself as a vampire. I have a collection of stories of children, upon whom, at night, small wounds appeared. Rather to my own wonderment, considering that I am a theorist, I have not jumped to the conclusion that these stories are data of vampires, but have thought the explanation of rat bites satisfactory enough. But, in the Yorkshire Evening Argus, March 13, 1924, I came upon a rat story that seems queer. Inquest upon the death of Martha Sr., aged 68, of New Street, Batley. On the toes and fingers were a lot of wounds that rather suggested rat bites. It was said that these little wounds could have had nothing to do with the woman's death, which, according to the coroner, was from valvular heart disease. The only explanation acceptable to the coroner was that, before the police took charge of the body, the woman must have been dead considerable time, during which rats mutilated the corpse. But Mrs. Elizabeth Lake, a neighbor, testified that she had found Mrs. Sr. lying on the floor, and that Mrs. Sr. had told her that she was dying. This statement meant that the woman had been attacked by something, before dying. The coroner disposed of it by saying that the woman must have been dead considerable time, before the body was found, and that Mrs. Lake was mistaken in thinking that Mrs. Sr. had spoken to her. The fun of everything, in our existence of comedy tragedy, and I was suspicious of the story of terrorized Chin A men, as told by English reporters, because it was a story of panic that omitted the joke's mania without the smile. Every fiendish occurrence that gnashes its circumstances, and sinks its particulars into a victim, wags a joke. In June, 1899, there was, in many parts of the USA, much amusement. Something, in New York City, Washington, and Chicago, was sending people to hospitals. I don't recommend the beating of a gong to drive away a hellish thing, but I think that that treatment is as enlightened as is giving to it a funny name. Hospitals of Ann Arbor, Michigan, Toledo, Ohio, Rochester, NY, Reading, PA. The kissing bug, it was called. The story of the origin of the kissing bug scare joke is that, upon the 19th of June, 1899, a Washington newspaper man, hearing of an unusual number of persons, who, at the emergency hospital, had applied for treatment for bug bites, investigated, learning of a very noticeable number of patients, who were suffering with swellings, mostly upon their lips, apparently the result of insect bites. According to Dr. L. O. Howard, writing in Popular Science Monthly, 56-31, there were six insects, in the United States, that could inflict dangerous bites, or punctures, but all of them were of uncommon occurrence. So Dr. Howard rejected the insect explanation. In his opinion, there had arisen a senseless scare, like those of former times, in southern Europe, when hosts of hysterical persons imagined that tarantulas had bitten them. This is mass psychology again, or the taboo explanation. To the regret of my contrariness, it is impossible for me utterly to disagree with anybody. I think with Dr. Howard that the kissing bug scare was like the tarantula scares. But it could be that some of those people of southern Europe did not merely imagine that something was biting them. If somebody should like to write a book, but is like millions of persons who would like to write books, but fortunately don't know just what to write books about, I suggest a study of scares, with the idea of showing that they were not altogether hysteria and mass psychology, and that there may have been something to be scared about. New York Herald, July 9. Names and addresses of 11 persons, who upon one day, 8th of July, had either scared their bodies into producing swellings, or had been bitten by something that the scientists refused to believe existed. And people who were bitten captured insects. Entomological News, September, 1899. Some of these insects, which were sent to the Academy of Natural Sciences of Philadelphia, were house flies, bees, beetles, and even a butterfly. There are wings of vampires that lull with scientific articles. See Taboo, as represented by Drive E. Murray Aaron, writing in the Scientific American, July 22, 1899. Nothing but sensation mongering from Richmond, Virginia, to Augusta, Me. There was a sensational horse, in Cincinnati. His jaw swelled. Would a child, aged 4, be too young for mass psychology? I suppose not. I am not denying that there was much mass psychology in this. Cedar Falls, Iowa, a 4-year-old child bitten. Trenton, N.J. Helen Lursk, 2 years old, bitten died. Bayshore, L.I. a child, aged 2, bitten. Later, I shall give instances of sizable wounds that have appeared upon people, but, in this chapter, I am considering tiny punctures that may not have been either rat bites or insect stings. An account, in the Chicago Tribune, July 11, 1899, is suggestive of traditional vampire stories. A woman had been bitten. The marks of 2 small incisors could be seen. I don't know whether I am of a cruel and bloodthirsty disposition, or not. Most likely I am, but not more so than any other historian. Or, conforming to the conditions of our existence, I am amiable bloodthirsty. In my desire for vampires, which is not in the least a queer desire, inasmuch as I have a theory that there are vampires, I was not satisfied with the kissing bug. What I wanted was an account of hospital cases, not in the summertime. The insect explanation, even though it was not upheld by taboo, is too much at home, in the summertime. I needed an account, not in the summertime, to fill out my collection of data. Any collector will understand how pleased I was to come upon London Daily Mail, April 20, 1920, an account of human suffering. A number of people in country places have been bitten by some mysterious creature with a very poisonous fang. It is rare for any sort of poisonous bite or sting to occur before summer, and as a rule the culprit is known. This spring doctors have attended case after case, where the swellings have been sudden and severe, though there is little sign of the bite itself. I have record of several winter time cases. See Law Nature, Supplement, January 16, 1897 that, while filling a stove with coal, in a house in the Rue de la Tour, Paris, a concierge had felt a stinging sensation upon his arm, which swelled. He was taken to a hospital, where he died. People in the house said that they had seen gigantic wasps entering the house by way of stovepipes. But the most mysterious of cases of insect bites, or alleged insect bites, is that of the small wound that led to the death of Lord Carnarvon, if be accepted that his death, and the deaths of 14 other persons, were in any especial way related to the opening, or the violation, of the tomb of Tutankhamen. Lord Carnarvon was stung by what was supposed to be an insect. What was said to be blood poisoning set in. What was said to be septic pneumonia followed. The stories of the kissing bug differ from vampire stories, in that victims were painfully wounded. But there was an occurrence in Upper Broadway, New York City, May 7, 1909, that may be more in agreement. It seems possible that a woman could, in a street crowd, viciously jab several persons with a hat pin, without being detected, but it does seem unlikely that she could enjoy such a stroll, jabbing at least five men and a woman, before being interfered with. A Broadway policeman learned that upon somebody a small wound, as if made by a hat pin, had appeared. Four other men and a woman joined the crowd and showed that they had been similarly wounded. The policeman arrested, as the cause of the excitement, a woman, who told that her name was Mary Maloney, and gave a false address.